This is episode 28 of Sustainable Photography. I'm your host, Ingvild Kolnes, and today you'll listen in on a conversation I had with boudoir photographer Ina Papatsakos. We're talking about female empowerment and the importance of making your clients feel good while working with you. You're listening to Sustainable Photography, where you get support and education to build your profitable business in a way that supports your way of living. I'm Ingvild Kolnes, and after 11 years as a photographer, I want to share what I've learned with you. So if you're looking for confidence, inspiration, and to-the-point tips, keep listening. For full transparency, I also want you to know that I'm a mentor with paid offers, and I might mention some of those in this episode. Ina is 28 years old, she's married to her high school sweetheart, and she's got two cute little dogs. She's been working as a professional photographer for 10 years. And after only shooting weddings for many years, she found out how much she loves boudoir photography. Now she runs a full-time boudoir studio. Ina's mission is female empowerment, and she wants to give women a safe space to embrace their bodies and express their sensuality. Hi, Ina. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you so much.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. So I got to know you through Instagram back when you were a wedding photographer. And you were in Australia.
That's true.
Yeah. Maybe you can start by saying why you were in Australia and how you ended up back home in Norway as a boudoir photographer.
Absolutely. I ended up in Australia because after I did my two-year photography schooling in Norway, we all had the option to go abroad to make our degree into a bachelor's degree. And I ended up choosing Australia, me and my partner did, because honestly, because it was the furthest that we could get away from Norway. And we were like, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it properly. So we sold everything we owned and we moved to Australia for 3 years. And I think honestly, I would still live in Australia if it wasn't for Philip, my partner, who wanted to come home. I absolutely loved living there, but yes, he wanted to go home. It's really far away. So he missed home, he missed his family. And so we decided that, okay, once we were finished with our degrees, we moved back home.
But you had some time to work there as well?
I did. I studied for 2 years and then I worked as a wedding photographer for the last year. Yeah, I did work as a wedding photographer like throughout the whole 3 years in Australia, but I did it full time the last year.
Oh, okay. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. But then you went back home and then after a while you set up your boudoir studio.
I did. I still shoot weddings and it was still my full-time gig when I moved back home to Norway. But I think it was maybe a year after I moved home that I really discovered boudoir and I tried it once. I absolutely fell in love with it. And I casually said that I think I'm going to make it like part of my 5-year plan to open a boudoir studio. And then 5 weeks later, I signed a lease and I just went for it.
What made you just take the jump?
I think that's just what I'm like. Like once I get an idea, I would prefer that it happened yesterday, which is a good thing and a bad thing. It sometimes makes me a little bit too spontaneous, I think. But yeah, it just felt right. I wanted to try it out and I just went for it.
Yeah, I'm sure you're glad that you, or are you glad that you did? Are you glad that's how it's turned out for you?
Yes, absolutely. It wasn't perhaps the greatest timing because I opened up the studio in last month of 2019. And then obviously the world went to pieces a couple of months later. Yeah. We had to close down everything, obviously, during lockdown. And we were very much still trying to establish ourselves at that point. So it was really hard going into lockdown. And I had spent all my savings opening the studio. I had nothing left. And we couldn't take any clients for that period of time. Oh. So it was very like touch and go for a while there, but I managed to get through it somehow. There was a lot of crying into my red wine for a few months, thinking that I was going to go bankrupt. But luckily, once we were able to open up again, the clients came quite immediately. Yeah. Otherwise, I think this would have been a very short adventure.
Yeah, I'm glad it worked out because you seem like you've got it all together now.
I'm glad it seems that way. I'm very much still learning and finding my way, but it's definitely much more stable now. There's a constant flow of clients. I'm very lucky to have clients fly in from all over the country and it feels more secure now.
When I do these interviews, I always start by asking what a sustainable business looks like to you. So that's your next question.
I would say that to me, it's probably a business that allows you to keep providing an outstanding client experience while at the same time take out a salary and have time off to recharge. And it took me many years to learn how to have a healthy work-life balance. I think it's so easy to think that if you run your own business, you have to work 24/7, but time off is so important. So I think that's the definition of a sustainable business to me, is that you can provide the best experience for your clients, but you can also take care of yourself and have financial security.
I think that whole thing of working nonstop, I think that's something that all photographers take for granted, because it's what we see that everyone else is doing. Oh, they're working every single weekend. That must mean I have to do that too. If not, I'm doing something wrong.
I only learned, I'm still learning, but I only started learning last year that it's okay to set boundaries, to set your own hours, to not answer any email that comes through on a Saturday night at 11 o'clock in the evening and just be a little bit nicer to myself in terms of how many hours I put in every week, because we give up so much by running our own business in terms of security. And the benefit that we should have in return is that at least we can set our own pace and work the hours that works for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree. And saying no, I think that's the one thing that's given me the most in my business, just learning that and just starting to actually do it, just say no and set those boundaries.
Yeah, it's so important, but it's so hard. It's the hardest thing, I think.
It's so hard, but important. But another thing that's important to you, that's female empowerment and body positivity. So I'm curious why you care so much about making women feel good.
I think it started out as something quite personal, because during my teenage years, I struggled heavily with my self-image and my body. And there was a period where my whole life evolved around shrinking myself and just losing weight. And it was so unhealthy. I was so skinny. I lost my period. Everything I was doing ended up being about just losing weight. And it's such a horrible way to live, because it takes away so much joy. And a lot of my friends, my female friends, have had the exact same issues. I have more female friends who have suffered from some sort of eating disorder than people who haven't. And doing this for a job as well, I speak to so many women, and the majority of them share the same story, that at some point they've had massive issues with how they see themselves. And I just think that is horrible, and it's something that is just systemically wrong.
Absolutely.
So I think boudoir photography has allowed me to counterweight that, because it's all about body positivity and women having the right to feel beautiful and sensual in their bodies, no matter how they look, no matter if they fit into that tiny little box that society tells us is beautiful. It's a passion project of mine. I think it's so important.
Yeah. I see that a lot of other boudoir photographers, they can talk a lot about morning after gift for your husband when you get married, and frame that whole boudoir thing as something that you give away. But that's not your take on it at all.
No. I think it's a great gift. Absolutely. But I think boudoir, it should first and foremost be something that you do for yourself. And if you have a partner that you're going to gift it to, for them. But I always say to my clients that the album and the photos, this is for you. And the gifts to your partner can be that he or she can look at them. But the album itself, the images itself, the experience itself should always be something that you do for yourself.
That's really great. You also have a Facebook group where you talk a lot about all these things, about feeling good about yourself, and you share images and all that. Can you maybe say something about how you combine your idealism with your business?
Yeah, I think the idealism part of it is like the cornerstone of everything else in my business. And like, if we're lucky enough to have a platform where we have an audience, such as Instagram or TikTok or the Facebook group that I run, which has grown to be close to 3,000 women in it, I think it's just natural for me to try to use that for something positive. So the little kind of female community that we've built in that Facebook group is really special. We preach all things body positivity and female empowerment and sexuality, and everyone in there, although I haven't met, almost any of them in real life, they're just so nice to each other and they constantly build each other up. And it's just been this really positive space for women to share things with each other, to ask questions, to talk about their insecurities and to get positive feedback. I think it's really important that once we have a platform to use it for something good.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. That's really nice. It has all the value for others. And it's really nice that you think of it like that, that it's not just for you and it's not just for your business, but you're using your voice for something good.
Yeah. And I think sometimes if you do try to combine your own idealism with your business, sometimes that also means turning certain clients away. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's not necessarily a smart business decision, but you got to be able to feel proud of the work that you do.
Yeah.
So for example, I have had requests from people who want a book, but they want to have their bodies altered like in Photoshop in their images to be slimmer or to have bigger boobs, or, and that would just go against the foundation of what Budato Plasma is all about, which is to embrace your body the way that it is. So yeah, sometimes it would probably be smarter business-wise to not have that idealism as the foundation, but I think in the long run, you end up being more content with the way you run your business if you do that.
Yeah, and in the long run, I think for your marketing and for your brand as well, it would probably hurt you if you said yes just for the money, when your brand would be so much stronger if you just continue to stick to your values.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that way you're going to attract the right, like eventually you're going to attract the right clients, the clients who want that experience that you provide.
I love your wedding photos so much. There's something about the mood in them. And you've been one of my favorite photographers here in Norway
for years.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. And I just have to say that when you started this, it seemed like it was a complete match, like with your personality, doing boudoir photography. So what is it you think about boudoir photography that you love so much?
I want to say everything, but first and foremost, I think it's boudoir photography can allow women to discover their own beauty. And a lot of us struggle to do that in our daily lives. And sometimes we haven't felt beautiful in years, or sometimes we haven't felt beautiful ever. And it stops us from doing certain things. It stops us from dressing the way we want. It stops us from being intimate with our partners. It stops us from feeling confident. So for me, boudoir photography is, it's so much more than just pretty photos. What I try to create here is a safe space to start the healing process after maybe spending years and years talking yourself down. Mm-hmm. And yeah, every time a client starts crying happy tears when she sees her photos because she feels beautiful, and maybe for the first time in a long time, I just know that I am where I'm supposed to be. Yeah. It just feels, yeah, like I'm part of something good.
Yeah. And the way you talk about things on social media as well, it just feels like it comes so naturally to you, like speaking about all these things that fit into your brand because it's your brand, but it just all fits together so nicely.
I think it took me a long time to be comfortable talking about these topics, because a lot of us, if we don't feel confident, it's almost shameful to talk about it. We go around carrying these feelings of not being good enough, but we don't express them. Mm-hmm. And it feels really lonely because we don't really realize how many of us are doing the same thing. But just growing up a bit and talking to others and realizing how common this problem is, yeah, it's just felt more and more natural to talk about it as well.
So there's, of course, when your clients come to you, they'll walk away with photography, like in terms of maybe an album or something to hang on their walls or files, whatever it is, you sell them. And having something tangible to hold in your hand and all, that's really important. But what about the experience that your clients have? What do you think that matters compared to the products and the photos they walk away with?
Honestly, and I love the products that we sell here. Like, I put so much time and effort into making sure that it's the best of the best and it's products that they will keep forever. But honestly, I think the photos and the product is just a bonus. And the real investment is in themselves. Like, the clients come here and they invest in themselves and in their own self-love journey, as cliche as that sounds. It's that feeling that they all leave with. That is the true value of boudoir photography, or at least that's the true value of what they get here, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we try to make the whole experience about just self-love and taking time to explore themselves. And so many come in here and they sit down in the makeup chair, because they all get hair and makeup done and they get champagne and stuff before the actual shoot. And it's maybe the first time that they've had a day to themselves in years. It's often like moms who have kids and really busy with all of their activities, and she rarely gets any time to herself. So even just that, even just being the center of attention for a day, I think can be so healthy. Mm-hmm. And it's something that a lot of women just never, ever allow themselves to do. And also just like the whole seeing yourself in a new light, because we're so used to seeing ourselves and we're so used to looking for our own flaws that sometimes like seeing yourself through the eyes of a stranger can be really eye-opening, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I came to you in 2020 and did a shoot.
Yeah.
And that's what I was left with. I have my print hanging on the wall
and
the photos turned out really nice, but I haven't looked at them that much because I don't feel like I need to, because what I was left with, like the main thing, was just like feeling so good and just, oh, I didn't know I could look like that. It was really amazing.
That's really nice to hear, because that is the exact feeling that I want people to leave with, and I want it to stick with them as well. Mm. And I think the products help them do that, because every time they browse through the pages of their album, they're reminded of that feeling. And that's much more important than looking at the photos. It's what you feel when you look at them. That's the value of what we do here, I think.
So having the photos as a reminder of this is you, this is your look, this is how you can feel, that's the main thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So there are a lot of boudoir photographers, not that many here in Norway, but there are some. And I'm sure you see how they run their business and the things that they do. And I'm sure in terms of yourself as well, what do you think that most people or most photographers do wrong when they want to get into boudoir photography, or when they've done it for a while even? Like, what are some mistakes that you see happening?
Oh, that's a really tricky question, actually, especially because, as you say, there aren't that many boudoir photographers in Norway, and I haven't really seen that much of how boudoir photographers in other countries run their businesses. But I think one thing is with boudoir photography, creating a trusting relationship with every single client is absolutely key. And it's such a vulnerable thing to be photographed in this way. And if you can't build trust with your clients, then you won't be able to give them that experience that they deserve. And I'm sure there are many ways to do that and to build that trust. But I find that what works for me is to be really personal with them. And yeah, that's why, for example, the Facebook group is so valuable for boudoir photographers, because my clients and clients of other boudoir photographers who have a VIP group like that on Facebook or wherever, potential clients might spend months lurking in the group and before even inquiring to book. And all of that time is time that they can get to know me and get to know my work and my values and see other people who've been here on a shoot and hear how they've experienced it, so they don't feel like they're coming to a stranger. So I think being personal is so important. Like, they have to know you as a person, not just as a photographer and business owner. And absolutely, for many photographers, that's a tricky thing because you want to seem professional. And maybe especially with boudoir photography, because there are a lot of creeps out there who do this for the wrong reasons. I think starting out, like, one of the tips that you get as a boudoir photographer is you have to be so professional so that people don't take you for a creep. And that's right, absolutely. But finding that balance, because if you're too professional, you never ever dare to be personal with them, then people won't get to know you and they won't reach out to you. I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing that you mentioned in a way is that you have your Facebook group and you keep sharing there and people hang around for a while before they book. And I think just that whole thing of being patient and not just thinking that if something doesn't happen immediately, that means that it's not working, because some
that's
people
so true.
A lot of time.
Yeah. I think the average, like for my clients, is that they might lurk around in the group for 6 months at least before even getting in touch with me. Yeah. And some of them have been lurking there for years. Like, I had a client a couple of months ago and I actually got like a last minute opening because one of my booked clients got sick, so she had to move her session. And then I just posted in the VIP group that we have an opening tomorrow. Does anyone want it? And usually people book months in advance. So I wasn't thinking that anyone would want to grab the spot. But within 5 minutes, there was this woman in the comments section saying like, I want it. So she emailed me and she told me like, I've been in the group for 2 years. I've been wanting to do it for so long. I just haven't found the courage to actually get in touch. She kind of felt that this was her sign that, okay, I'm supposed to do it now. I won't have time to be nervous because it's in 12 hours. And so, yeah, it's always a really nice surprise when people say that they've been like following me for years and then finally building up the courage to actually book.
Do you think, because you have like a waiting list and people book in months in advance, like you say, do you think that's part of what makes you do really well? That it's an exclusive thing. It's not like you're trying to get in as many people as possible, but it's more like a high-end service that you offer. Do you think that adds on to the whole experience and your value and brand?
I think so, because I think for many women, this is something that they treat themselves to once in their lives. Like, some come many times as well, and that's super nice. But for many, it's a one-time thing. And they want it to feel really special. So they might combine it with stay at a hotel or a spa treatment. Also, a lot of my clients come from all over the country. So I think that they can come here and get a full day out of it, and that it feels luxury, that there is like champagne and there is a client wardrobe they can borrow luxury lingerie from, and that there is hair and makeup and a lot of like, yeah, following up in advance, following up afterwards. I definitely think that helps adding to that luxury experience that they want when they're only going to do this one time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what about if someone is interested in doing boudoir photography? Because it's something that I know a lot of photographers are interested in, but where to start?
It's really tricky starting out as a boudoir photographer, honestly. I didn't know where to start either. I started out shooting my friends in my own living room. It was just to try it out, just to gain some experience, knowing how to pose them. Because I think it's really important to be aware that when someone books a boudoir session with you, you have their self-image in your hands. And if you don't know what you're doing, if you don't know how to pose them, no matter what their bodies look like, if you don't know how to create that safe environment, then you can potentially do a lot of damage to someone's self-confidence. Mm. So it's definitely something that should be treated with respect, because you don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
So I think practicing a lot, like before you ever book a client that you don't know, practicing a lot with friends and family to make sure that your posing is good is really important. And there are so many great ways to learn posing. There are lots of posing guides. There's lots of YouTube. Yeah, that's how I started out, at least. Like, I bought a few posing guides and I try them out on myself, on my friends, on people I knew and who trusted me before I ever tried actually having a client that I didn't know. So yeah, know your posing is so important, I think.
Perfect. What would you recommend doing to build a sustainable business?
What would I recommend? Definitely don't do the mistake that I did. Don't take 10 years learning how to set boundaries in terms of working hours, because you're going to burn yourself out. And know your costs of doing business. That is also something that is so tricky, because pricing shouldn't be like grabbing a number from the air and because it sounds good. Mm-hmm. You have to know what it costs you to actually do the things that you do. And that is often so much more than what you think, because you think that, for example, when someone comes in to shoot here, that I obviously pay my hair and makeup artist and buy their refreshments and stuff, but it's all of the other costs as well. It's insurance, it's equipment, it's education, it's like internet, it's Spotify so I can play music for them, it's the client closet. There is so much more. And that's even before you can take out a salary. Mm-hmm. Running my studio last year, before I even thought about taking out a salary, it cost me 600,000 kroners. It's really expensive to run a business.
So then you have to have prices that reflects that.
Yeah, you do. Even if you're starting out, you still have costs.
Absolutely.
So a lot of people think that I'm new, I can't charge that much, but you still have to have your costs covered and you still have to be paid for your time. And if you don't know how to calculate these costs, like, there are people that you can ask, there are people that you can pay to help you with this. You don't have to do everything yourself. It's okay to outsource. That's also something that I took way too long to learn, that it's okay not to do everything yourself. So yeah, definitely knowing your costs so you don't go bankrupt. Yeah, that would be the two main things, I think, for like sustainability. You're not in this for like a few weeks or a few months. If you're in this for the long run, and it needs to be sustainable, not just for 3 months, because you can work 20 hours a day for 3 months and you can be fine. But in the long run, you have to make healthier decisions than that.
Yeah. And in terms of pricing as well, like, you think that it's okay to have low prices for a while, but it's just going to come back and hurt you later on.
Because
then what are you going to do when you're at that point where you can't keep those low prices? Then you have
that's exactly what. And a lot of people like to have low prices in the beginning to build a client base, but what happens is that when you up those prices, you lose your entire client base, because all the clients that you've attracted already are people who don't want to pay what you're worth. And they're not going to follow you when you raise your prices from like 2,000 kroners for a shoot, including everything, until 40,000 kroners.
Yeah.
They're not going to come with you. And then you have to start all over. Yeah, they're going to complain. And you're going to have to start all over again. Mm-hmm. And without exception, the clients who want all-inclusive service for nothing, they are the clients that are going to complain about everything, and they're going to take all your time, and they're going to be super demanding. They're going to expect you to be on call all through the day. But the clients who pay you high prices, they are the clients that want you because of your talent, and they trust you, and they don't mind paying what the experience is worth.
I think that's something that's maybe easy to say when you've been through it, but I think a lot of newer photographers might struggle to believe it almost.
Yeah. And I understand, because I was the same.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think I had anyone that told me that it was a bad idea, which is why I just think it's so important to mention it again and again, that you have to make sure you're pricing yourself right from the start.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And like, there are ways to, if you need to build your portfolio, if you need clients who are willing to let you share their images, there are ways to do that without offering them a price that can't even pay your bills. You can do a model call where I did that a lot in the beginning. I would use like model calls where, in exchange for me being allowed to use all their photos, I would give them the session fee, for example, but they would still have to pay for all their products and all their prints. So I gave them a little bit, and they, in return, gave me permission to use the images for my marketing. Mm-hmm. But I still made a profit. It was still sustainable, and they still understood the value of what they were getting.
Yeah. And I also think it's very overrated, the amount of photos we think that we need to have in a portfolio to get booked, because we don't need that many.
That's true as well. I think for boudoir especially, you do need a little bit, because you need to show variety in the people that you are shooting. Like, people want to see themselves in your photos, meaning that they can't all be one body type, they can't all be one age, because people who don't recognize themselves in that, they won't book you then, because they wonder, will she be able to post me? I have this and this.
But you can still do this over time. You don't have to have everything before you start.
No, absolutely not at all. And you can show a lot of diversity in your portfolio by doing 3 shoots if you're intentional about it. If you do like someone who is young, shoot someone who is, I have had clients from 20 years old until their 70s. Yeah, you can show a lot of diversity shooting just 3 people.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Yeah. Oh, that's really an important message. And I hope that everyone hears that loud and clear. Where can the listener go if they want to get to know you better?
They can go to Instagram. I try to be rather active there. My handle is boudoirupplevelsen. It's a tricky one to spell if you don't know how to spell it, but I'm sure there will be links somewhere.
There'll be links in the show notes.
If they want to do a shoot with me, they can head to the website. There is a contact form there, and it's pretty easy to find. It's boudoirupplevelsen.no. That came out in English. But it's boudoirupplevelsen.no. Excellent. So yeah, that's the main platforms that I use, as well as the VIP group, which is also linked from the website.
Yeah.
And we are trying to be more active on TikTok as well, but I'm not really good at that. So cool. I'm there, but I don't expect too much.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's also good to know. And if someone wants to learn more about being or becoming a boudoir photographer, can they also follow you then? For some tips down the line at some point?
Absolutely. I wish the community for boudoir photographers in Norway were much bigger. It's always nice to have colleagues and we can all learn from each other. I really encourage people to start doing boudoir photography. And if people are interested in like having a chat about it, I'm always happy to have them visit the studio. We can sit down for a coffee. We can talk about all things boudoir. There might be happening a workshop at some point as well.
Cool. That's really good to know. I'm sure a lot of people are interested in learning from you because you are so talented and you really, boudoir, it just feels like it's your thing.
Thank you so much. That's really nice to hear.
Thanks for listening to Sustainable Photography. Head over to Instagram at Ingvild Kolnes to tell me what you want future episodes to be all about. Check out the show notes over at ingvildkolnes.com/podcast. You can learn more about the Sustainable Photography Program and sign up for the waitlist there. To get more of this content, make sure you subscribe to the podcast and leave a review. Your support makes all the difference. Talk soon.